You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Everyone on earth lives under some form of government. The form of government is of human origin. The institution of government is of divine origin.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, give us good government in this land of ours. Help our leaders, the President of the United States and all in authority, to see their responsibility to you as well as to all of us who elected them. Give us all grace to see you as our Father in Jesus Christ and to live upright lives as your sons and daughters, not as slaves, but as members of your family by faith in Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen. In 1965, a book was published in the United States called The Making of a President. The author, Theodore White, was writing about the turbulent and unsettled years which followed shortly after the death of President John F. Kennedy in the United States. The book revealed how the various presidential candidates feuded and argued among themselves prior to their national conventions, and of the things these candidates and their associates said and did under grueling pressure and public demand. The Making of a President showed both sides of the political candidates, their private as well as their public lives. In public, they often advocated high-sounding programs with great idealism, but in private, they would often speak with open contempt of the very same things which they had championed so eloquently and so publicly. Everyone on earth lives under some form of government. The Roman philosopher-statesman Marcus Tullius Cicero talked about six forms of government, each with its own strengths and weaknesses. They range all the way from monarchy to tyranny, and from mob rule to dictatorship. Cicero said, "Monarchy may be the best form of government if you have a good ruler, and it is the worst form of government if you have a bad one." Winston Churchill remarked about democracy that it is probably the worst form of government, but it looks a lot better, he said, when you consider any of the alternatives. The form of government is of human origin. It often displays the human weaknesses of which people are capable. Government as an institution for the preservation of order under law is of divine origin. If people were perfect, there would be no need of any government, because people are people. There has to be government. As Martin Luther used to say, government as an institution for the preservation of human society is a gift of God for the benefit of humanity. It is also a punishment of God, he said, upon a sinful humanity. The sinful situation of humanity, where people know what they ought to do but don't do it, and know what they ought not to do but still do it. In that kind of situation, government is necessary. No nation is going to be saved by government, but a lot of nations can be destroyed when government does not do its work on the basis of divine principle embodied in the universal law which comes straight from God. Speaking to people who wanted to do the right thing because they were Christians, living under a government that in many ways demonstrated good quality and in many other ways was terribly corrupt and tyrannical, St. Paul said, "Everyone must obey the state authorities, for no authority exists without God's permission, and the existing authorities have been put there by God. Whoever opposes the existing authority opposes what God has ordered, and anyone who does so will bring judgment on himself. For rulers are not to be feared by those who do good, but by those who do evil. Would you like to have no fear of the man in authority? Then do what is good, and he will praise you. For he is God's servant, working for your own good. But if you do evil, be afraid of him, for his power to punish is real. He is God's servant, and carries out God's wrath on the one who does evil. For this reason, you must obey the authorities, not just because of God's wrath, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also the reason that you pay taxes, for the authorities are working for God when they fulfill their duties. Pay then what you owe them. Pay them your personal and property taxes and show respect and honor for them all." That's Christian talk to Christian citizens. It is also Christian talk to governing authorities under any form of government, whether those governing authorities are Christians or not. It has something to say that's very important about government itself and about those who are charged with authority in the conduct of government. The first thing that St. Paul says is that government is under God. It's exactly what he says. It is not over God, but under God. It cannot tell God what to do. It has to listen to what God tells government to do. This is true of all government, wherever it may be and under whatever form it operates. Government has a purpose, to provide those conditions of justice and order which enable people to live with each other in an atmosphere of peace and harmony. This is never easy. People do come into conflict with each other, and they do have disagreements. People are not naturally good, no matter what idealistic assertions may be made about them. People are not naturally unselfish. They are naturally selfish, looking out for their own interests. Because of that selfishness, government is necessary. It is not only important, it is necessary. Government is necessary for all people, whether they are religious or non-religious, pious or impious. I have seen pious people who are all for government as long as it does not touch them and restrain their own selfishness. I have also seen some impious people who are all for government, as long as it doesn't keep them from doing the things they want to do, no matter how destructive those things may be of human life or of the rights of their fellow citizens. St. Peter said that the purpose of government is to praise those who do well and to punish those who do ill. St. Paul said the same thing. Those who do good and live upright lives with consideration for their fellow citizens should have nothing to fear from government. Government, he said, is God's servant working for the good of people. It is very important that citizens recognize the purpose of government. And it is also very important that those who are in authority recognize the importance and purpose of government. They have a charge from God to do the right thing in public and in private, to be themselves the kind of people that obey law and insist that their fellow citizens also obey law. People in authority have an additional responsibility to see to it that laws put on the books are just and righteous for the praise of those who do well and for the punishment of those who do ill, rather than the other way around. The making of a politician is one thing. The making of a statesman is often another. A politician simply listens to what some people want and does that, while a statesman has his ear cocked for higher authority and is willing to do what is right, even though it may be unpopular. What St. Paul is saying is that Christians can help politicians become statesmen. How can they do that? By being good Christian citizens themselves. It is important that Christian people live by the faith they profess. They cannot and do not want to impose their faith on other people. They can and must witness to their faith, not just by what they say, but by what they do. Christian people believe in the lordship of Jesus Christ. That faith does not make them right about everything. Christians can be wrong, too, about all kinds of things. Christians make mistakes and are not always as considerate of others as they might be. They have this faith, however, in the atonement of Jesus Christ for their sins, that God forgives them their sins. If there's anything different about Christians from other people who are not Christians, it is that Christian people are conscious not of their rightness, but of their sins. They are confident not of their ability to save themselves, but of the grace of God who forgives them their sins. Christians are basically humble people, trusting in God. In the fear of God, Christians have the courage to try to do the right thing. It is important, said St. Paul, that Christians be Christians, not just as a witness to their faith, but as a contribution to the whole cause of good government in the world. People get the kind of leaders they deserve. If they deserve politicians, they get politicians. If they are the kind of people who encourage politicians to be real statesmen, they may get statesmen. Be Christians, said St. Paul to his people, in the very practical area of your relationship to government. He encourages Christian people not to revolt, but to work toward the improvement of government. No government is perfect, just as no man or woman is perfect. But there is a principle underlying government in which Christian people have a great interest. That principle is the rule of law, just law, fair law, law that recognizes the universal law of God in the world. The law of God does not cheapen human life. It makes human life valuable and important. Nobody takes the life of anyone else, even the life of an unborn child. That's the law of God. Nobody takes the property of somebody else or tries to get it by underhanded and unfair means. That's the law of God. Nobody goes around slandering his neighbor and telling all kinds of untruths about him, or even half-truths, because the law of God forbids that. It is important to have people in authority, whether executive, legislative, or judicial authority, who remember the whole basis of government when they carry out their duties as the representatives of government. Being elected or appointed is not carte blanche to do anything you please. You who hold positions in government have a responsibility not only to the citizens who elected you, but to the God who established the whole institution of government. You have a responsibility to recognize His law, which is the basis of all law. Christian citizens can help to make Christian statesmen like that. They can participate in government themselves. They can encourage people who are not Christians to be good administrators, fair, just, lawful, obeying the law themselves and seeing to it that the laws are obeyed by others. Government is a thing of law, or it is nothing at all. Christians can help make statesmen by being good Christian citizens themselves. They do this because they are Christian. They recognize the hand of God in human affairs. They see government as a servant of God, an agent of His wrath on those who do evil, and as the representative of His justice toward those who do well. Christian citizens obey the authorities, not just because of God's wrath, but as a matter of Christian conscience. Christian citizens pay their taxes. That must have been a touchy point, otherwise Paul would not have made such a point of it. It is a touchy point with very many people today. Most citizens don't exactly like to pay taxes. People talk about the tax burden because it is a burden all over the world. Pay what you owe the authorities, said Paul. Pay them your personal and property taxes, and do it with respect and even honor for those who are charged with the responsibility of the duties of government. The same responsibility belongs to those who collect the taxes. It's important for the continued existence of government that taxes be collected fairly and that they be used fairly. This often requires statesmanship of a high order, because people are very sensitive to the ways in which their taxes are used. Corruption in government, particularly in the use of money, has done more to destroy the good name of government than any other single thing. The incorruptible servant of government, when it comes to the use of public funds, is a true servant of God. Government is God's servant. The man or woman who carries out duties in government with the highest standards of morality is also the servant of God. A true servant of God, no matter how humble his position, is a true statesman. Christians do not want the church to be running government. They also do not want government to be running the church. The reason is obvious. The government lives by law. The church lives by the gospel. Christians do not expect every government official to be a Christian, but they do expect him to observe the law of the land as a true servant of God in the area of government. Christians expect the church to live by the gospel. They themselves can be expected to live by the gospel. When they have been touched by the Spirit of God through the gospel, Christians will forgive where others might not. They will be honest where others might not be honest. They will be considerate where others might not be so considerate. They will defend others when their name is being destroyed by gossip, where others might not go to the defense of those who are being slandered. They will honor father and mother, where others might be living in a state of constant warfare at home. They will do this as Christians, because God expects it of them as Christians. It is a matter of conscience with them. In so doing, they will be what the Lord expects Christian people to be, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. What a great thing it would be if Christian people acted as Christian people for the sake of conscience. Such action is always a great contribution, not just to the life of the church, but to the life of all people, Christian and non-Christian. It's a step forward in the direction of true order. It's important to Christians for one reason, and one reason only, that the Word of God may be proclaimed in all its wonderful truth, that Jesus Christ died to save sinners, and that he is the Lord of heaven and earth. The world needs respect for authority. That encouragement to good authority Christian people can give by being good Christian citizens themselves, obeying the law in the land where they live, and also being citizens of heaven, the land of promise to be inherited by all those who love the Lord. Pray for your country, Christians, and work for it. Work to help make statesmen of the leaders of your land, that God may be glorified and everyone may be benefited by good government, so that those who do good and who live by law may not be afraid. Live as Christian citizens in a world that is not perfect, confident that the grace of God is at work in that world to justify and perfect all those who trust in the good name of his Son, Jesus Christ. As Christians, do your part, so that your nation may have good government, a real government under God, responsible and responsive to his power and his law, with peace and order, which will permit the proclamation of God's word without fear or hindrance, so that people may hear the good news of God's grace in his Son, Jesus Christ, and may believe the good news. And finally, by the grace of God and the power of his Holy Spirit, may be saved. Amen.